This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. If you have your message notes, you'll take those out. If you have your Bibles, take those out. If you have your church app on there now, the Bridges Church app, you can open that up, and actually the notes are in there too. If you haven't downloaded that yet, do it maybe this week. And then you can follow along on your phone, and you can fill in the blanks and keep it with you and take notes. This is a new series we're starting called Broken to Breakthrough. We've been praying about this and thinking about this and preparing for this for several weeks. We're glad that you're here. It really is a series designed for all of us that are dealing with things in our life, because we all are. And we just are praying that God will just show up in some amazing ways and just kind of speak to us where we are and take care of us and reach out to us. As I was preparing for this and just getting ready, I was listening to a podcast by a guy named Kerry Newhoff. He's a pastor in Canada. He's a leadership guy, and so a lot of things he does are on leadership. And he was interviewing a lady named Lisa Turkhurst. I don't know if you know that name or not. Lisa Turkhurst is the president of Proverbs 31 Ministries. She has a daily following of about 8 million people. That's a lot of people that she reaches out to, either through her blog that she writes or through her podcast that she puts out. And so she was talking to Kerry Newhoff, and he asked her a question. He says, tell us about the last 3 years of your life. What's been going on? And this is what she said. About 3 years ago, her husband, who was her best friend, and they'd been married for a while, it was revealed that he had been having an affair, had been going on, and not only that, he was addicted to certain substance, and he was dealing with that. And as you can imagine, for someone that when your husband, your spouse is your best friend, and to hear that news, it just is crushing. It just kind of deflates everything. And she said it was like, how does this happen? Because they'd gone to the conferences. They had done church together. They had had been date nights together, doing all these things. And yet here was this news, and it just kind of crushed her. And she had to deal with that, and she didn't know how to. And she kind of kept that inside. Her best friends knew, but no one else did. And then a few months after that, she went on vacation with her family. They were away. She got home on a Sunday. Monday morning, woke up with this horrible pain in her abdomen. So bad she couldn't stand it. They took her to the hospital. Doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. They put on her morphine drip. She said the morphine wouldn't even touch the pain. She'd never experienced pain like that. She went through the pain all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, a different doctor came to her bedside and said, we found what's wrong. Your intestine is pulled away from the sidewall. It's twisted, and you are going to die if we don't do surgery right now. And we don't know when we get in there whether you're going to survive or not, if you're going to go septic or not. Imagine hearing that on top of everything else that you're dealing with, right? What do you do? She went through the surgery, and she was able to pass through that and get through that. And then several months later, she and her husband began working on their marriage. They're trying to make things work. They had planned on renewing their vows and just trying to start a new life. And before that happened, she found out that her husband had a continual affair and was still dealing with addictions. And so that got called off. And then one more crushing blow. This one, though, she decided to go public with it after being quiet for about 18 months. She put it out there to her people, the 8 million or so people that listened to her. And she said, this is where I am. And it just crushed her so much that she couldn't work. She said, how can I work? I can't even function. I mean, she laid in bed, and just basically her prayers were tears to God. And so she's dealing with this brokenness, and she thought, I can't work. What do you do? Well, if you're off from work, you know how people go and they get their dentist appointment in, their doctor appointment. At least I can get that general checkup. And she went to see her doctor, and the doctor ran some general tests for her and found out she had breast cancer. I mean, in a three-year period, can you imagine what that must be like and the brokenness that comes with that? And she said on this interview that I was just crying out to God, God, what are you doing? Where are you? And she wrote a book through this experience that's the title of the message today. It's basically this: it's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be this way. And this may be how you feel sometimes, because you're looking at God, you know, I've followed you, I've done what I think is right, and it's just, it wasn't supposed to be like this. It's supposed to go better. And if you're not sure about God and your life, and you're not sure if he exists, you're still asking yourself, what happened? Why this? Why now? Why am I going through this? And she made a really interesting point in this podcast. She said, sometimes things are broken into big pieces. You know, big pieces can be glued back together. You know, you take this piece and that piece, and you can do some things and make it work. But she says, what do you do when the big pieces are broken into dust? right? When it's broken to dust, there's nothing you can pick up. There's nothing you can do to fix it. And then she reminded herself, and God really reminded her, that what does God do with dust? He makes new life out of dust. That God, in the book of Genesis, took the dust, and out of that he formed a new life, and he breathed into this, and that he can do that for anyone at any time. That even when things seem so out of our control, it's so broken, we can't figure out how to fix it, God says, I can take your dust, and I can bring something out of it. As we kind of kick this thing off, again, as Luke already prayed, I think we all deal with brokenness in some way. If you're a human being, you're going to deal with brokenness. Sometimes it's in your own life where you're facing something. You went to the doctor, and maybe they don't have a name for what you're going through. Or there's a relationship that's just gone left or right, just the wrong direction. Or you have a child that you poured your life into, and you don't know what's in their mind and why they're doing what they're doing, and you can't control it, right? Once they get a certain age, you just can't do anything about it, and it just feels broken. It may be a financial issue that you were doing everything right, and then the insurance stopped, or you hit a bill, and it just crashed everything, and it's down into dust. Or if it's not you, it's somebody you know, right? You're dealing with someone really close to you, and they are dealing with brokenness, and you just cry out to God, God, do something, God. And you're not seeing results, and we're all in that situation at some point in your life, right? So what do you do? What do you do when you're down in that place where you're at brokenness and you need God to do a breakthrough? In this series, we're doing this for the next 4 weeks today, plus 3 more weeks. We're going to be talking about this, looking at this, really dealing with some big questions in life. And we're going to focus on 4 books from the Old Testament to really give us some answers. Books you may have never studied, you may never have heard of them, but they're great books. That's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and Job. And I'm going to be teaching 3 of them, and Luke's going to teach next week out of the book of Nehemiah. And the thing that these 4 books have in common, besides their history of what happened with God's people, is all 4 of these books deal with people who are broken and they found breakthrough. And so we want to see from God's word that this is not unusual. That people from the time of the fall in Genesis until our very day have dealt with brokenness. It's where God enters into our story in sometimes the most powerful ways. And it's during those times that we see him more clearly than ever before. And we want to look at these stories and go, what can we take? Because God doesn't do anything on accident. What can we take from these accounts in the Bible? And what can we apply to our life? We're going to start with Ezra today, but I got to give you some background. I gave you some history so you know why Ezra is important. We have to go back to Solomon, okay? We just finished our Proverbs study. Solomon wrote a good part of Proverbs. He's a wise guy. He was very intelligent and made tons of money. We would say he's the most successful leader on the outside. But the thing about Solomon that he did wrong, and it cost him the kingdom, is that he began to turn away from God. What he did was his dad was told by God, as long as you follow me, as long as your heart is with me, you will have a descendant on the kingdom or on the throne forever. And Solomon knew this, but what Solomon did was he began to make political alliances all around him. The way you did it was you married people. And he began to marry people in the royal families of the countries near him, but they all worshiped their own gods. And what happened was when they came in, Solomon was saying basically to God, I trust my wisdom, my ability to make these alliances more than I trust you. And the ladies came in, and I don't recommend, gentlemen, that you marry a lot of wives. You're just going to get into a lot of trouble. Don't do it. But for him, it was even worse because they brought their idols with them. And when they did that, they began to worship other idols. And Solomon allowed it, and his heart moved away from God. God came to him and said, you're far from me. Because you're far from me, the kingdom's going to fall apart. And sometimes we make choices that have huge consequences, unintended consequences we don't even realize, that flowing down from our decisions is brokenness. Solomon's son had the kingdom taken from him and split in two. We had the northern kingdom that we called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. And the northern kingdom, Israel, turned away from God almost instantly. They go, we don't care about God. We're going to worship our own gods. And they were pretty quickly just on the wrong path. And then they were put into exile. And the thing is Assyria came in, they conquered Israel. And what they would do is once they defeated the army, they took the people and they deported them. They sent them away into exile. And think about these kids that are growing up in exile. They're born away and they're going, wait a minute. God promised my great-great-grandfather Abram that this was going to be our land. And now we're far away from home. We didn't do any of this. We were just born here, but we're born in a new culture. We don't understand these people, and they're different. Why are we here? Who messed up? And then Judah, when they turned away from God, the southern kingdom, same thing happened to them, but Babylon conquered them, and they were sent to exile. And all these people are growing up, and they're going, wait a minute, it's not supposed to be this way. You ever been there before? It's not supposed to be this way. God has made promises, and my life is supposed to be going a different direction. How did I end up here? Well, Ezra picks up the story, and you can only have so much bad news, right? Ezra picks up the story in Ezra chapter 1. He goes, wait a minute, there was a turn. And what happened was King Cyrus of Persia came in and conquered Babylon. And then God used Cyrus to say this, Jews, you can go home. Time is up, you can go home. And we'll pay for you to go home, and we'll pay for the temple to be rebuilt so you can worship God again. It's time. And so about 50,000 of them said, we're going home. And they were led by a guy named Zerubbabel. Now, nobody names their kids Zerubbabel anymore. I don't understand why, but Zerubbabel was a good guy. He was a descendant of David. And by the way, if your name is Zerubbabel, I just apologize, okay? You come see me afterwards, I'll own up to it. It was a wrong thing to say. But anyway, Zerubbabel led 50,000 almost people back to Judah. And they got back to Jerusalem. You know what they found? Complete brokenness. Their homeland was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Everything was destroyed, and it broke their heart. But they had money. They had some energy. Says, let's rebuild. And so good things start to happen. They start to rebuild the temple. Everything's going good. Has ever happened to you? Like bad things are happening. Bad things are happening. Suddenly you see a little ray of hope. Something good's going to happen out of this. And then it stops because Cyrus is gone as king at this point. Another king comes on and people are starting to complain. They go, these guys shouldn't be rebuilding the temple, and nobody can find the paper that says it's okay. You ever been to the Social Security office or been to the DMV and they go, you're missing one paper. And if you don't have this paper, you're stuck. It's happened to me, and you're just like going, where's the paper? And they can't find the paper, and it shuts everything down. It takes them 21 years. To rebuild the temple. I don't know how long you've been through broken times. 21 years sounds like a long time. Long time. Finally, they find the paper. The work starts. They get the temple rebuilt. But the people aren't changing. There's still brokenness there. And they don't know what to do. So Ezra steps in. And now we're catching up with Ezra's story. Ezra is this teacher. He's a lawyer. He's a guy who knows the word of God. He's not really a leader. But he has this idea, we're going to go restore, we're going to go back to Jerusalem, we're going to help them. He's kind of like the Chip and Joanna Gaines of his day, okay? Come on, guys, let's get everything together. We're going to go restore Jerusalem. And so people give him all this money, they get guys together, get about 1,500 people going, we're going to go, because they're in exile too, we're going to go back now, many years later, we're going to go help them. We're going to bring some hope to the situation. And maybe this happened to you. Again, you're going, everything was going well, then it went bad, went south, and now it's starting to go well again, and everybody's all excited, and then they stopped. It's about a 900-mile trip, about a four-month journey to go, and they got to this river, and they looked around and go, we got a couple of problems. One, we don't have enough Levites to go if we get back, guys who work in the temple. We don't have enough of those guys, so we're already shorthanded. And two, we've got all this money, all this stuff we're taking back, and we don't have any guards. And this is a scary place to go. We're going to get robbed. You ever carried a lot of cash on you? You ever travel overseas or something? You get all this cash on you. You go, people can just feel the cash. You know, you start getting worried. I'm going to hide it in my socks. Don't hide it in your socks or your underwear. That's where everybody hides it, okay? Don't find something new, but you got all this cash on you. And they were the same thing, and they got to the river, and they just stopped frozen with fear. And maybe that's happened to you too. Because after a while, when you deal with brokenness, you just quit, don't you? I don't think I can go to another counselor because the last one didn't work. And we got out of debt one time, and we got out of debt two times, but now we're in debt again. It seems worse this time. I don't know. Or I dealt with addiction, and I got free, and I was free for 6 months, and then I relapsed, and I've gone back into it. Now another year's gone, and I'm just afraid if I go, I'll try, and I'll fail. And if I fail another time, I don't think I can do it again. Fear paralyzes, doesn't it? It just stops us where we are. I don't think I can do this again because I'm afraid of failing. And exactly what happened to the people of Israel, they got to this river and they just stopped and go, we can't go on. Now, Ezra, maybe not a political leader, but he was a spiritual leader. He said, guys, there's something we need to do. And then we're in Ezra chapter 8, 21 through 23. And this is what he did. He did four things that we're going to see. And this is how we're going to start. Each week we're going to have something new to do. But this day we're going to start with four things that Ezra did. Ezra 4, 21 through 23. This is what they did. Ezra took action. He says, then I, meaning Ezra, and his name means Yahweh helps or God helps, proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children. And the word children there is an interesting word. It's not like little children. It means people who can't walk. It's like babies who can't walk, but it can also mean crippled people. It could mean elderly people. It could be anybody. So they call them children, but just understand they are already broken. Some of them are already broken since we can't even travel. And we're going to ask for safe travel for them and all our goods. For I was ashamed. It's a key word. I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way. Since we had told the king the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him. And the power is wrath against all who forsake him. Before we move on, think about that word ashamed. He goes, basically, we were ashamed to admit that we were afraid. We were ashamed to admit that we were broken. We were ashamed to admit to tell anybody. Lisa Turkhurst took 18 months before she could tell anybody really beyond her closest friends what she was going through. And this is what happens with all of us. We're going, we don't want to tell people. We don't want people to know our business. We don't want people to know what we're going through. We don't want to burden people. We don't want to scare them off. But the thing is, if we hold it inside, there's no healing. Right? So what he said, he says, let's just be candid. I love the word candid. I don't like the word honest as much. I think I've said this before, but sometimes we'll say to people, I'm going to be honest with you right now. You ever said that? It's like, for 10 years I've been lying to you, but today I'm going to be honest to you. I like the word candid. Today I'm not going to hold back the stuff I've been holding back. Today I'm going to tell you this is where I am. Today I'm going to tell you this is where my heart is. Today I'm going to tell you what I'm dealing with. Today I'm going to tell you my frustrations. Today I'm going to let you know who I really am. And there's huge freedom in that. Ezra said, we were ashamed to tell the king we were afraid because we'd already promised that God was going to take care of us. Now we look like we're not trusting God. But he states it out loud to the whole assembly. Together we're just going to admit something. We're all broken. That's what he's saying. We're just broken people. But we're going to do something about it. Next verse. So we fasted and implored our God for this. And I love this. And he listened to our entreaty, which basically meant he not only heard, but he acted. He not only heard, but he acted. And so today, as we kick off this series, I just want to look at what do you do when you're broken or when a buddy's broken or your child's broken or your marriage is broken? What do you do? Here's four things that they did. And it's our starting point, not our ending point, but our starting point for this series. Number one, they did. It's on your outline. Again, it's on your phone. If you got your outline on the phone, they sought God together. Number one thing, they sought God, because this is basically what it said. We can't fix it. We've tried and we've tried to fix ourselves and we can't, so we're going to seek God because God has answers and God has power and God has strength and God has wisdom and God sees the future and God does this kind of thing. He makes life come out of dust. We're going to seek God with this brokenness and we're done trying to fix this ourselves. And it said they did it with humility, which is huge, huge, huge. When you come to God with humility, you're basically saying, God, you're my dad, and I'm your kid, and I can't do this anymore, and I need your help. Humility is like this key that opens the door to God's heart. When we're proud and we say, we got it, God, look, we're fixing this thing ourselves, he's going, well, let go of it, and I can do it. But as long as you hold on to yourself, you're going to get your results. But when you let go of it, when you're humble, then God can work. If you're in our Bible studies, and if you're not, you can pick one up at the table on their way out. But in our Bible studies this week in Proverbs, you're actually studying about humility. It's cool how God arranges these things, because one's on Proverbs and we're in Ezra. But you're going to see the power of humility, how you approach God. One of the verses you're going to look at is Proverbs 3:34, and this is what it says. To the scorners, to the people who mock things and make fun of them, he is scornful. But to the humble, he gives favor. To the humble, he shows up. To the humble, he reveals himself. To the humble, he steps in. To the humble, he makes a difference. And humility is a posture that makes all the difference in the world. God, I just need you. And that's what they did. They sought God together as a group. And it's what we're doing as a church. We're just going to seek God together. The second thing they did is they prayed together. They prayed together. Now you're expecting probably prayer. I mean, that's an obvious thing, right? But let me tell you the difference between prayer for brokenness and prayer about everyday things. Everyday things, we just kind of make a list. God, I'm looking for food today. God, I'm paying a bill today. God, help me to take care of my parents and help me to take care of my kids. God, I'm praying for Susie today. I'm praying for John today. And we just go through our list. Brokenness is not like that. When you're really broken, you can't even get the words out sometime. And you're just going, God, like Lisa Turkhurst, just on your bed, God, help. God, help my friend who doesn't know you and they're lost. God, help my friend who's in the hospital and they're just suffering today and you don't even know how to speak to God. That's the difference in prayer. This is what they were praying on the shore of this river. They're going, God, we're afraid to step out. We're just turning to you. And conversation is just what prayer is all about. Just speaking to the God of the universe. And let me tell you something. Sometimes we're afraid to pray because we don't know what to say, right? I don't know what to say, God. I don't speak like him. And we always talk about Luke. Luke is an incredible prayer. I learned from Luke's just prayers. I love the way he puts it into words. And we go, I don't pray like Luke. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter. What matters is here. Are you expressing to God what's in your heart? That's what brokenness is all about. In the book called If, Mark Batterson writes this. He says, when I don't know how to pray, and sometimes we prayed everything else, we've run out of things, but I don't know how to pray. I take heart in the fact that the Holy Spirit is interceding for me. In other words, the Holy Spirit's praying for me. Prayer is a team sport, a tag team with the Holy Spirit. It's not just you talking to God. It's the Holy Spirit taking what you said and putting groans we don't even understand. The Spirit of God isn't just praying for us. He's praying through us, giving us the words to say. And I love this. I often preface my prayers, he said, with a preamble, meaning this kind of prayer. Lord, I want what you want more than I want what I want. That's the prayer of a broken person. When you can say to God, I've tried everything, and right today, I'm just going to say, I want what you want more than I want what I want. In other words, you're saying, God, I need you to fix this in your way and not my own. When you can get down to that point, that you're just trusting God with it all, that is a powerful prayer. That's the kind of prayer that taps into the power of God. You're saying, God, I want your will. And God's will be done on earth as in heaven when we turn it over to him. So they prayed together. Number three, the third thing they did is they fasted together. They fasted together. The basic definition of fasting is really simple. It's simply going without food for 24 hours. It's starting, typically the Jews would do it the night before, like you're calling a fast on the Sabbath day. On Friday night, they would, or before the sun went down, they'd have their last meal, and they wouldn't eat again until the next night after sundown. It's just 24 hours without food. And it's basically saying to God, I'm turning to you. Now, here's the deal. When you're in brokenness, or your buddy's in brokenness, or your child's in brokenness, what you learn really quickly is it's out of your control, right? If you can control it, it's not broken, because you can fix that. But if it's out of your control, you're realizing, I can't do anything. And what prayer and fasting does is gives you control. Because that's the one thing you can control is your relationship with God. And for that period of time, you're saying, God, every time I'm hungry, I'm going to think of you. And every time I'm like thinking about that cheeseburger and I'm not eating it, I'm thinking about you and I'm turning to you because the pain in my body recognizes the pain in my soul and I'm just turning to you. And that's what fasting does for us. It's not magic. It's simply turning to God saying, God, I need you. Now, they did this, and it says in Ezra 8:23, so we fasted, implored, which means begged our God for this. And I love this. He listened to our entreaty, which is a simple way of simplifying. He answered. He answered. And what happened is God gave them a couple of things, three things probably. One, he gave them a plan. So Ezra had this plan. He said, we're going to split up in groups of 12 groups. We're going to split all this money we've got to carry in these 12 groups. So if one gets attacked, we're going to be okay. So the first thing he got was wisdom. The second thing they got, they don't really state, but it's obvious, they got courage, which is something you need. And the third thing they got was what they asked for, a safe trip. 900 miles from where they were back to Jerusalem, from April, it tells us, to August, which if you think about it, is the worst time to travel. August here, I don't even go outside half the time. You know, you're just sweating, you walk outside and then sweat starts dripping. How do you imagine walking for 14 straight weeks in that kind of weather in the Middle East? And that's when they chose to go. And God took them from where they were to where they needed to be. And they went through this journey together. And they found God at work. And here's what I believe, that every day was a day of faith. And every mile was a mile of trust. And every step was simply seeing the faithfulness of God. We made it one more step. He showed up. We're going to where we need to be. And he's here. And he got them all the way back to where they were going. And they arrived. And they're going to start working. And we're starting seeing hope come back to the community. We're starting to see some change happen in the community. We're starting to see some restoration happen in the community. But God was at work. Because here's what the deal is. If you see God at work, then it changes everything. Today you've got a green piece of paper in your outline. If you want to take that out. What we're going to do as a church is something, because we have seen brokenness in our community. In our church community, in our community surrounding us, we know of people within the church that are going through things themselves that are broken. We see people that are struggling in different areas, or they have family or friends who are struggling, and we said, let's do something about it. We don't know what, so let's do what they did. Let's do what God had them do in the Bible. So this is what we're going to do. March the 6th is the first day of Lent. We don't always observe Lent, but it's the 40 days leading up to Easter. So what we said, well, let's just pick that day as a day of prayer and fasting. So on Tuesday the 5th, the night before, we're asking you to, if those who can participate or want to, just eat your meal, you know, Tuesday night. Don't eat again until Wednesday, but use that time for prayer and fasting. Now, if you're in a medical condition where you can't fast food, that's great. Pick something else, Facebook, media, pick some kind of food, whatever. But just take whatever God lays on your heart. And on March the 6th, let's pray against brokenness and toward breakthrough. And then what we're going to ask you to do is for 40 days, 39 more is prayer and fasting. Now, no, you're not going to fast for 40 days. You're not going to eat, not eat. We're not asking you to do that. What we're asking you to do is take that time and pray daily, but also maybe fast some more. Some of you might say, okay, every week during that 6 weeks, I'm going to take it one day and I'm going to do a 24-hour fast. That's great. Some of you might say, I want to do a Daniel fast. And Daniel fast is really cool. It's you're only eating fruits and vegetables. And there's a website, Ultimate Daniel Fast. I think the reference is on there. You can go there and get all these recipes. And you can use that time to draw closer to God. Some of you might want to do a limited fast where you go, okay, I'm going to cut out caffeine. I know that's blasphemy for some of you with coffee, but it may be that God's calling you to give up caffeine, all right? Just don't be around me when you get grumpy. All right, we'll pray for you. Some of you may be chocolate. It may be Pepsi. It may be anything. Some of you might want to do a media fast. I'm cutting out this. Whatever it may be, that's between you and God. Some of you might just look at this time and go, I'm just going to, every day, just going to separate myself from something that you need to. That's the main thing, so you can be praying. And during that 40 days, we're going to do a couple more things. Ezra took them to the Word of God. And so in our new church app, I don't know if you got the email. If not, we'll help you find that. We have a new church app, and every day for those 40 days, we're going to send out a verse and a reflection. And it's going to be a time that when you get it, we just ask you to stop and pray, read the verse, absorb God's word, put it in your heart, reflect on it, and let God work. It's about giving him control and turning to him as the answer and not ourselves. So if you don't have the app, see us afterwards. We'll help you get it. And then we're going to start that March the 6th, and every day you're going to get that. Another thing we're going to ask you to do is at your table, you should have gotten a card. It's either in the seat or at your table. It's a colored note card. And each week we're going to do this and say, what's broken? What's broken that you need to give to God? And you write it down. And then over there in the corner where our cross is normally up here, our cross is over there. And you can already see from first service all the cards that are up there that people are writing down. This is broken. You can put it like in a code that only you know. It may be a person's name. It may be just my neighbor, my friend, myself. You can fold it over and tape it so no one can see you. But we're going to be praying over those cards each week. We're going to keep them on there until Easter. And we're just going to say, God, you work. Because we're going to pray and fast together as opposed to individuals. We're going to do this together and pray. We have a group that comes in and prays every Sunday morning. And they're going to pray over those requests. And we're going to do this together. So that's there. Then in the corner on the right-hand side back there, there's another board that you start putting up when God answers. Here's an answer. And we're going to give God the glory for that. So that's going to come in the next few weeks. But we're just going to stop and pray and fast together. We're going to pray for three things, okay? Here you go. Here's your three things. Number one is personal breakthroughs. personal breakthroughs. It's a thing you write on the card. It's for the people around you. Every day we're going to ask you for praying for people's personal breakthroughs, whatever it may be. If you know them, pray for them. Second thing we're going to pray for is gospel breakthroughs, meaning we're going to pray for people who don't know Jesus and they need to, because he is the answer and he is salvation. So we're going to pray for our community. We're going to pray the people in our family don't know Jesus. We're going to pray for people at our work that don't know. And we're going to pray for them daily. And the third thing we're going to pray about is our Building to Serve campaign. We've talked about that. The money's coming in great, but we kind of hit a wall with that. And we've talked to loan people, and they're not able to loan us a loan that we want to take. And so we're saying, okay, this is going well, but God, you have an answer that we don't know. And today after the second service, we're going to meet about that, and I'll answer your questions, but we're not making any decisions until we pray and fast. And we just say, God, you've got a plan? That's awesome. We just ask you to show it to us. So we're asking you as a church just to gather together, not in a place, but our hearts together every day for 40 days for prayer and fasting, of seeking God, of praying to God, and fasting unto God. Because you don't fast unto food, you fast unto God. Because Jesus has answers, and Jesus has strength, and Jesus is going to go through this with us. When you look at the life of Jesus, so much that he did was about taking people from broken to breakthrough. In Mark chapter 4, there's an example I just want to share with you, read through it with you, about what Jesus did one day to a group of people who should have known better, but found themselves in a point of fear, of isolation, of worry. And they were so scared, they didn't know what to do, and Jesus steps in. Mark chapter 4, it's just an ordinary day in Jesus' life, and in verses 35 to 41, it says, and on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across the other side. And you got to understand something, it was Jesus' idea to get in a boat. It was Jesus' idea for them to go to the other side. And what happens was because Jesus told them to get in the boat. Don't miss that. It wasn't their idea, it was Jesus' idea. Next verse. And leaving the crowd, they took him, Jesus, with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. These guys are fishermen, but they're afraid. They've dealt with things before, but a storm is out of their control. And they're out on the lake, and they're not on the shore, and they're in the midst of it, and they can't go back, and they can't go forward. And the boat is starting to fill, meaning they've only got moments to deal with this. And then it says, but he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on the cushion. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Have you ever wondered if God was asleep while you're going through what you're going through? God, are you just sleeping? Because it sure doesn't seem like you're paying attention to me. God, are you just gone for a moment? Do you not see what I'm going through? Are you asleep, God? Jesus is asleep on the cushion. I have been in storms, nothing like this, but you can't sleep in a boat normally, right? It's rocking, it's going crazy, water's pouring in. It doesn't affect him at all. And they're upset with him, and not only do they tell you he's asleep, but it says, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? When you're broken, don't you ask God, don't you care? You ever done that? Don't you care? I'm right here, right now, going through this. You could stop this with a snap of your finger. Don't you care? If you've ever been broken, you've thought that. If you ever had a buddy, a person you love, that you can't do anything about it, you've asked yourself that question, or you ask God, don't you care? And when you get to that place, you'll understand why the disciples said it. Sometimes we make fun of the disciples. I'm not making fun of them. I've been there. You probably have too. Are you asleep? And do you not care? And then it goes on, he awoke. The storm didn't wake him up. The water didn't wake him up. What woke him up? His followers said, Master. His followers turned to him and they asked for him. That's what woke him up. That's what changed. He woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. It's three words. Greek, it's two. It's like such a short answer. In the midst of your brokenness, the most important thing you need is peace, the peace of God. It's going to be okay. In the midst of brokenness, you just need to know God's there. He hasn't left you. In the midst of brokenness, you just need to hear his voice, right? As soon as you do, okay, I can get through this. He hasn't forgotten me. There is something good going to come of this. And just hearing the voice of Jesus, it just shut everything down. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Isn't that what you long for in the midst of brokenness? A great calm in your life. It's good, and it's going to be good. And he said to him, he got on him a little bit, why were you so afraid? Have you still no faith? It's like, why didn't you wake me up sooner? Why did you wait till the last moment? Did you think you could control this the whole time? Do you think if we just held on a little bit longer, it's going to be good? Why didn't you come to me sooner? It's basically saying, because it took this to get us to come to you. And they were filled with great fear, not of the storm, but of God. And what he's capable of. And they said, who then is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him. And they learned something about God they could have never learned without the storm. They learned his power. There's something good that comes out of storms sometime. And here's the deal. I think Jesus is just waiting for us to come to him and say, here it is. I'm to that point now. I'm giving up on controlling it myself. I'm at that point now where I'm just giving it over to you because I want to be at peace and I want to see what you're going to do. Some of us, we just need to get to that place, and maybe you're there today. Maybe for the first time you just want to say, Jesus, I'm ready to step across that line. I have tried everything and nothing works. I'm ready to go because I am broken and I'm giving it to you. Maybe some of us, it's that thing that we just care about in our own life. We go, Jesus, here's my brokenness, or somebody else's life. Jesus, here it is. And that's what he's waiting for. Today on your card that you have, maybe right now you just want to write it down because we're going to pray. What's that broken thing? Or maybe on your card go, Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. I've been holding on, holding back. Today, I'm giving you my whole life. Other people, it's just write down, what is that thing? What is that thing? And we're going to close with a verse and then a short wrap up. When the people were in exile, God didn't forget them. And he spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, and he spoke to him some words you probably know, but I don't know if you knew the context. When the people were in exile, just like Ezra and his people, they were going, God, where are you? Don't you care? Are you asleep? And he wrote these words through Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know you're exiled. I know you're in a tough place. But I have something good for you. I have a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's when God steps in. And that's when they got home. And that's when Ezra went back. And that's when change happened. When we get to the point where you go, God, I know you've got a good plan, but I'm going to call out to you, and I'm going to seek you with all my heart. I want to wrap up a story that I started with. It's kind of a cool wrap up. Lisa Turkhurst took those pains in her life, and she had breast cancer, and she went to the doctor, and they had to do a double mastectomy. What a tough 3 years to go through. And when she's passed through that, cancer is all gone. And the day that she went in with her abdomen pain, and at the end of the week, when she got to the end of the week and the new doctor came in, he said, Lisa, I know that you were praying that God would take the pain. And I know you prayed that for every day, but the doctor said this, I'm glad God didn't answer the request, and here's why. If the pain had gone away, you would have gone home and you would have died. But because of the pain, we kept you here. And because of the pain, we ran another test. And because of the pain, we did the surgery. And because of the pain, you're healthy. And she learned something about sometimes God just keeps us there in the midst of it so we can find something even better. And they published the book. It's not supposed to be this way. And I think she's ministering to people. And the cool thing, after the book was published, they had a thing in December of just last year, just 2 months ago, that she and her husband renewed their vows, and they're starting over, and they're finding breakthroughs. I believe God can do that in all of our lives. He may not answer exactly the way we want him to, exactly the time, but he has a plan. He says, just give it to me. Give it to my son and find breakthroughs in your time of brokenness. We're going to pray now. Whatever that thing is that you wrote down or it's just in your heart, let's give it over to God. And let's begin to walk on this path from broken to breakthrough. Let's pray. Father God, in the midst of this, sometimes it's scary to step forward. Because what if you fail to come through? And that's where faith comes in. So I pray that you'll take us out of fear and into faith. Help us take steps that we didn't know we could even take because you're strengthening us. I pray for each one of us that has a breakthrough we need to see either in our own life. It may be a medical thing. It could be a relationship thing. It could be a dream that's just stalled and not moving anywhere. It could be loneliness. It could be depression. Could be anything. You know it better than we know it ourselves. I just pray that even now we give it to you. Could be a person in our life that we're just praying for. We give it to you. And we admit we cannot control it. We can't make things happen. We can't come up with answers. We can't glue it back together because it's dust. But you can take dust and bring life to it. So Father, we take these things. We either write it on our card. We put it in our hearts. We're going to pray for them. And through them until we see you answer. Because you do keep your promises. And you are a God who can do anything. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. During our time of communion today, and we do this after every week, be a time that you can tape it up on the cross. There's more cards over there. You can take communion during this time and kind of leave it open for you to walk around the room. And for some of you, you're like dying because you're a fill-in-the-blank person. You're going, Patrick, you forgot one. And you forget things sometimes. It's not good, but I did it on purpose because there was a fourth thing that Ezra did to prepare us for communion. When he got back, they saw the brokenness of the people and the brokenness of the city. They go, this is not good. And Ezra looked around and go, what's the problem? Why aren't we seeing God at work? And they answered and said, well, these people that remain behind, they intermarried with all the women here and that were not Jewish, who didn't know God, and they're pulling our hearts away from God. And it's exactly the same thing that Solomon had done, and they didn't learn, and they were still far away from God. And when Ezra heard this, he led the people to do something. Number four, they confessed together. They confessed together. They stopped and said, God, we are broken people. And we have messed up. Ezra pulled them all together, the people who had come with him, the people who are already there. And it says in Ezra chapter 9, verses 5 through 6, and at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my fasting with my garment and my cloak torn. I mean, this is what you did when you were broken. You just tore your clothes in their culture. And I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God, saying, oh my God, I am ashamed. And I blush to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. Ezra has not been there. He did not do what they were doing, yet he owned their sins. Too often we point at other people and we go, if they would just get their life right, life would be better. If people that are dealing with addictions just wouldn't, life would be better. If these people I don't like over here had a different political view, things would be better. If these people over here's lifestyle was different, their life would be better. My life would be better. The world would be better. And what Ezra says, forget all that. Own all of it. We're all broken. We all deal with stuff. He used the word our and we. And he said, we need to pray together for God's forgiveness. They prayed, God restored them, and the relationship was better. Before we take communion, I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I'm going to use the word we and our. The things that I didn't do necessarily, I've done other things. Things I see, you see. Maybe we didn't do them ourselves, but we're going to own them, and we're going to give them to Jesus, who takes all our sins and cleanses all our sins when we confess. Let's pray together. Father God, we confess to you right now, there's times we have not loved people who are different from us the way we should. And Father God, we admit to you and confess to you for racism in our hearts as a people. We admit to you and confess to you our addictions that we deal with, things that we've turned away from you and turned to them. Father God, it may be anything, maybe things that we see on TV or internet that are not honoring to you. We've absorbed them into our spirits. Father God, we've taken people and exploited them in our world. There's things that we have done, Father God, as people that are not honoring to you. There's divides in our country, multiple divides. We look down on people, and yet we hold ourselves up, which is the opposite of what you want us to do. Father, we confess to you today that we are a broken people in need of forgiveness. And we turn to Jesus, who took the sins of the world upon himself. And for that period of time on the cross, he became it. The one who had never sinned, he became our sin. And in him, we find healing and hope and wholeness. And today, Father, we simply say, as a people, forgive us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.